Welcome then to another edition of the Millwall Debate Show. It's a live interactive chat on Twitter Space where basically the topics are controlled by yourself. So I'm joined on the space with the co-host, which is Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Mickey. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. We've got a couple of listeners already in there. So, yeah, I mean, if you do want to get involved, then please just request that you want to speak and go from there. So I think the way it works is then invite people to speak like so, and you can, Joe, and then we go from there. I suppose really we'll start off, Joe, with the easiest option of saying it's looking very likely that potentially we're going to sign Keith, or as I call him, Keith, the signing we got from Birmingham, potentially for another season. What's your views on that, fella?
As much as I like Keith, I think he did an all right job for us when we signed him. I can't quite get my head around the fact that he's, 31, he'll be 32 in July. Is he going to give us that player that we need to take us to the next level next season? You know, I mean, I know he's had a couple of injuries this year, but even when he's been fit, he hasn't really been that effective. He hasn't kind of, you know, challenge Saville or Mitchell, let's say, in the latter part of the season for their places. I mean, could they maybe strike a deal with him? Maybe they've got him on a sort of cheaper contract for another season. He's probably up for that. He's happy to stay for it for a season and play more of a kind of backup role. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes? But he's certainly not. It's not a sign that I'm going to be sat here thinking, "Wow, what a signing!" You know, another year's contract for Keith. You know, I'm neither sort of disappointed or happy with that one, to be honest with you. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I'm the same as you to a degree. I mean, he's not a bad player. He's a you know, an old professional pro, but I don't know really if he's going to be worth the money. Unless what I've seen online where people have said potentially it's good to have a seasoned pro to go from there. So yeah, Ollie, go on in. What you want to speak? Go on in, fella. What's your point?
I'm the same as you. I just think it's a good backup to have, especially with the squad depth that we definitely have. We definitely need the players. If it's a cheaper contract, that's brilliant. But yeah, that's my kind of thoughts on it. Good backup.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, you know, it probably fits into the Rowett style of play. You know, if he's looking to play two defensive holding midfielders, he's a Rowett player. But then, obviously, we'll probably talk about this in a minute or two, but if Rowett goes and someone comes in and inherits him, you know, is it going to be a waste of another payroll, you know, another player in there that may not quite fit into someone else's style of football next season? It's a real tricky one there, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. Welcome to the chat then, Kai. Off you go, fella.
Hello, mate. Hello, boys. How is everyone doing tonight?
How you doing, Kai? You all right?
Yeah, I'm just
all good, Kai. All good.
I'm good.
Just before you start, Kai, right, the way this works is basically if you join, I will send a request to you to speak if you want to speak. If you don't... sorry about that. If you don't want to speak, that's fine. You don't have to accept or put yourself onto that. But if you do want to speak, then please do so. And obviously, we don't need to talk over people. Let people have their point. Try not to be rude, anything libelous. This is being recorded and it will go out as a podcast on our platform towards the weekend because it takes a couple of days to get the data from Twitter. So again, please beware if you don't want to be on because it is being recorded and will be published later in the week. And also, obviously, you are being broadcast live across Twitter now. So if you want to get involved, I'll send a request and you can just say yes and you go from there. So, yeah, no worries.
Just one more thing to add to that as well, Mickey, is if you're listening to this on a laptop or a PC, you're not going to have the function to talk. So you have to be on your mobile device to log in to then speak if you want to speak, of course.
Ideally, yep. We don't want to have silences as well. So, yeah, Ollie, what you got to say, fella? Do you want to change the topic or do you want to move on to something else or you want to say something else? Let's go with that.
Let's go. Rowett going to leave or is he going to stay? I think. I mean,
that's what the subject of everyone's sort of thinking and talking about at the moment.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that one, Ollie?
I can't see him going, especially if Keith's in bounds. I don't think he will be leaving at least for another season. Just because I think Barrison would have had a conversation with him saying, are you going or are you staying? And then if he is going, I'd allow Keith and Bell to be signed just for
very,
the reason.
Very
that,
good.
Yeah.
That's a very, very good point, actually. You're right, because obviously if they're going to tie his contract in, there's no way they're going to invest in Rowett and getting a Rowett player in if he's got no intention of being here next season. It's a very good point. I mean, if you listen to news at Den and reports of interviewing Rowett on this subject, he's very, very good at playing it down, isn't he? He sort of talks very much about how he doesn't know where this interest has come from and it's all gossip at the moment and blah, blah, blah. So whether he's just, very good at playing the media or he's just telling the truth. Maybe he's got no aspirations of leaving at all. Who knows?
I don't think he's going. I don't know. I mean, he's had 3-year build here. All of a sudden, he's on the verge of potentially doing something bigger next season, maybe. He's got some good players to negotiate, maybe with a bit of investment. That's probably the sticking point. But would he want to go to another club and start all that again? He's obviously not got the Watford option.
Yeah.
Is the Blackburn option on the table? Don't know. I can't see Birmingham fans having him back there. QPR, there seems to be an agenda at QPR where some other managers potentially are looking to go in there. I mean, I've heard a couple of rumours there with some other managers what are being geared up for there. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, and hopefully maybe there'll be an announcement this week. But the fact that he's picked pre-season of going to Ireland already, and that's come out, I think potentially he's going to stay. But he has a rolling contract, so we're waiting to see how that goes going forward, I suppose. So, yeah. Kai, anything you know about this?
Nothing really, but, I mean, in reality, you'd hope that it would already be sorted. It's a massive summer ahead, and we can't really afford our manager to be leaving. And if he is going to leave, realistically, he needs to leave now and give, the new manager, was to come on to come in, plenty of time to have, have put his mark on the team. I hope Rowett stays. I think Rowett probably will stay in. And I hope he's already sorted out. And fingers crossed he can start building for next season, because it's going to be a really crucial transfer window ahead.
Other news, obviously, it's been around for a little while now, is the release of Mahoney. There's no talk of what club he's going to join. Obviously, he's a free agent now. He can go wherever he wants to go. But the thought of it, we spent £1 million on this player. He's been thus what, 3 seasons? Hasn't really featured a lot. I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little bit disappointed. He never really got a fair sort of crack of the whip. I mean, we kind of know Rowett's reasons as to why he did let him go. Apparently, he didn't fit into his style of play or how he wants to play, in the side. But surely, a player in his quality, you would find a position for him, wouldn't you? You'd find a way of trying to sort of, fit him into the sides to be more of a big part of our season.
Maybe. Just hold on one sec, Ollie, before you come in. Those of you listening, if you're listening on a laptop, unfortunately, due to the way Twitter Space works, you won't be able to join in and have a conversation. You need to be listening to this on own. Ideally, I think Apple is system for it, or Android will work. When you join, we will send you a speak invite. And then, obviously, if you want to come in, you can. Obviously, no libelous. Nothing, obviously, offending. You can use whatever language you want. You can call people a cunt and fuck and everything else. That's perfectly okay. And also be aware that this is being recorded and will be going out as a podcast later in the week. And also this is being broadcast live through Twitter as well. So, yeah, go on, Ollie.
So, Mahoney. He's a free agent and he was a Harris signing. So I can kind of probably see him maybe, not going to confirm anything or deny anything, but he could join Gillingham. It's local to him, being south, southeast. they're in League Two and they've released a lot of players. As far as I'm aware,
do you think he'll join Gillingham? I mean, it sounds like they let Ben Thompson leave.
Yeah, they purely let Ben for Thompson go as well.
Financial reasons, didn't they? So are they even going to afford Mahoney's wages if they can't even afford Ben Thompson's?
I don't know. If you looked at Harrison's press conference the other day, the way he spoke there, there's going to be a lot of people on half decent money. They seem
going.
He seems to have had the
Ben
right
Thompson, one of them.
Well, I don't know. Within the setup, I mean, Harris said, you know, these players don't deserve to be here. They're not playing for the team. They don't deserve to be here. And rest assured, come next season, they won't be here. So if he's got a rebuild exercise on, realistically, the way Harris is, he's going to want players wrapped around him that he knows will be able to do a job.
Yeah, I think he's only kept on four players at Gillingham. He kind of like trusts and stuff. I could also see Mahoney maybe going to Pompey. You know, he'd be probably a good acquisition for a League One club. You know, probably that size. Yeah. Similar to Mill. So maybe not get the position he wants.
Yeah. And he's still relatively young, isn't he? I don't know. Is he 25? Yeah. Is he 25, 26 maybe?
Let me find out.
So he's certainly got his best years ahead of him still. You hate for him to sort of drop down too low, wouldn't you? But a sort of League One side would be great for him to kind of start rebuilding his confidence again, start playing regular football, and then who knows?
Yeah,
we might see him back in the Championship again.
But I think most of the reason he hasn't played for us is either he didn't fit into the system or he was injury. And I also know his missus also had a baby in that time. He was kind of injury riddled.
Lack of sleep sounds like to me.
I thought you were going to say his missus don't like Millwall anyway, so she's been going and all that. But yeah, I mean, listen, if you guys want to get in and speak, you've all been sent invites. Paul, David, Trevor. All I can see is LEW. Is that Lewis MFC and Brad? If you want to come involved, just press the talk. Unless you're listening on a laptop, then no, you won't be able to come in anyway. Another topic, I suppose, is worthwhile of putting out in the space at the moment is what players do we need and how many of the current squad would you try to keep hold of?
You go ahead, Ollie, go on.
I kind of had like a little thing. Hold on, let me find it real quickly. But basically, I'd probably keep most of the first 11 here, if possible. But I've always had a look around other leagues in foreign countries where we probably should look at, like Zion Fleming, who we are definitely linked with, who scored, I think, 15 goal contributions he's got in the Eredivisie for Fortuna Sittard. And there's, other players in the Eredivisie. John Swift, I kind of like the look of. He's a free agent.
Is he a free agent? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a guy called Lewis Ferguson who plays for Aberdeen. He's quite good. He's got 11 goals and an assist in the Scottish Premiership for Aberdeen, and he's a centre mid.
I think we just need to say welcome to the scouting hour with Ollie.
Yeah. Yes. There's kind of a good couple of centre backs in the Eredivisie as well. And in the Bundesliga second tier.
Yeah, I'm sure old Elder been very hard. Meetings with Steve Cavanagh, I've been told, and they're looking at players. They're talking to lots of agents at the moment to try and sort of strike up some deals. And a lot of hard work's going on behind the scenes. And what we don't see or hear of at the moment, I'm pretty confident there is lots of going on behind the scenes. I just hope we get the right kind of players in that can sort of take us to that next level, because I don't think we're too far away from really challenging those top six places at the moment. I mean, I know it's going to be a tough one next season without Bennett Kofobe, without Jed Wallace. But if we can bring in sort of three or four decent players, that can make a difference. I'm not just talking a backup player or squad player. I'm talking, somebody who's going to make a sort of difference to the side. I think we can do another Luton, like what Luton's done this season. Yeah. They've recruited fantastically well.
What do you mean, lose to Huddersfield?
but they've got playoffs.
I'm just saying, the fact they got into the playoffs and did so well, a lot of that is down to their recruitment. They're very, very shrewd in their signings and the players they've brought in. They've brought players in that they needed in certain positions that have been strengthened their not just their squad, but actually their first team. And that's the thing with us. I think if we bring players in, we've really got to look at the areas where we need strengthening and improving, not necessarily just bolstering the squad with average players, you know.
So where would you bring in? What do you think? Obviously, if Jed goes, we're going to need midfield, an attacking midfielder, which we've always wanted an attacking midfielder.
I would say Savile's in that role already, kind of situation. So I'd probably bring in another holding midfield that can partner with Billy Mitchell. I would also bring in probably a better striker. There's a guy who plays with Zurich in the Swiss League. He's got where is it? He's got 29 games, 18 goals, and 7 assists in the Swiss League.
Well, which is that's good.
Yeah,
so. Very, very good. Yeah, I think we'll definitely look at attacking players. I mean, Jed Wallace, as you rightly say, Mickey, he's number one. We've got to find if Wright wants to keep that system. You've got to find that player that's going to link the midfield with the attack. As Ollie said, you know, perhaps Savile can do a job there. Interesting. I was. We did a player sponsor with George Savile this season, and as part of the sponsorship, you get to kind of sit down the table with him. I had Luke Freeman on our table as well. George Savile was a lovely guy. You know, I talked to him for ages. And we kind of spoke briefly about when he first joined Millwall, playing that 4-4-2 system where he had the license to kind of bomb forward. I think he had Sean Williams partner him at the time, and he kind of gave him the opportunity to get forward and score goals. He said he quite enjoyed that time because he was very influential. He was taking a lot of free kicks, scoring goals.
Didn't he get two first, like back-to-back first-minute goals as well away from home?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. So he for one, I know he's quite keen to play that attacking role, but he said, look, you know, it's Rowett's system. He wants to play two holding midfielders. He said, I've got to do a job there. Yeah, me and Mitchell at the moment having to do this job. And he said, it's what it is. You've got to do what you've got to do for the team. He said, but I do love getting forward. He said, I do love getting in the box. I do like getting the odd goal here and there. So who knows next season whether or not there's thinking there to kind of play Savile, maybe more of a sort of attacking midfield sort of role behind the front two. Who knows? I'm sorry if he could do a job there. But it'd be interesting to see who he brings in. Is there anyone else there, guys, that want to come in and add to this this chat? I know there's a few that I can see there. It's in the green room. We've got Paul, you've got Frankie, David, Trevor, Brad.
It'll be good if Paul could come in, because Paul's pretty much been to every game this season. Good to get his views on areas what are needed. But I understand some people prefer to listen rather than get involved. It's all a bit daunting and everything else. That's perfectly okay. But again, if you do want to get involved, you need to be on a mobile phone. I don't know if tablets work, but definitely it doesn't work on a laptop or a computer at the moment. So yeah, I'll leave it to you three boys to carry on then. I'm out walking the dog at the moment. And it's a good listen. So yeah, I mean, you obviously gone mid. I mean, you said, Ollie, that you wanted possibly a striker as well.
Yeah.
Is that because our strikers just aren't good enough, or you think we just need a different setup there?
I think, I can't see going back to us on a loan. Or even permanently again. I think Stoke will just keep hold of him now. That's kind of like a ransom sort of thing. Try and see if they can get money from I don't know, maybe Besiktas or for him. So I would look abroad as well, because like abroad has been very good for like teams like Lewin. They got a player for centre mid who was Alan Campbell, who we were linked to. In the last summer window, there was another centre who now plays for Swansea, who was at Celtic, and we were looking at him. So abroad, and he's done pretty well for them, I'm so sure.
Why do you think that is, Ollie? I mean, it's not just a recent thing. I think it's happened for as long as I've been a Millwall fan. Why do you feel we seem to always miss out or lose out on these signings? You know, we're always in the mix to sign these players, and as soon as there's another club or two involved, doesn't matter whether they're doing better than us or below us in the table, they seem to kind of get the preference. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I think people do kind of look at the fan base and see what they kind of prefer. Some maybe go for money. I'm trying to think of some other examples. I've had, you know, George Saville, we think he's got good payday from going to Middlesbrough. When he had him, we got 7.5 million for him, which I was happy about.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, at least, yeah.
Allegedly, I mean, I don't think we got all that payment. I think that was part and parcel of him coming back, was to get that lump of money off their system as well. So, yeah, it was done. I think the better now that we're starting to recruit overseas, because for years, until recently, we weren't recruiting overseas. So we were only looking at leagues in this country, hence, you know, the lower leagues and stuff like that. And when we're not making bundles of money in transfer fees as such, when we're not getting rid of players for millions and millions of pounds and everything else, you just have to, you have to obviously do your business carefully. But if you can pick up an half-decent player from, you know, a foreign league who's doing the business relatively cheap, you know, a million, maybe two, then it makes a good bit of business. Bring them into the team for a couple of years. Hopefully they get better, and then you can sell them on to a Prem team at a later date and make a couple of million out of it.
Yeah.
Also, I think if you look at what Norwich done as well, a few seasons back, I mean, they did exactly that, Mickey. They went overseas. They really managed to kind of find some good signings there. Like looking at Pookie, for example. I mean, they didn't pay much for him at all. And he's been prolific for them in the Championship. I mean, he even scores goals in the Premiership. And they've got several other players that they bought overseas that have all sort of done really well and helped them in their promotion campaigns over the last sort of few years.
We've got Toby waiting to come in, but I think he's a Brighton and Hove Albion fan, but still, we're taking him if he wants to come in and he's got a point of view on players. Go on, Toby.
We all work Palace, don't we?
Yeah.
We've got quite in common, us and Brighton, haven't we?
Yeah, that's all I've got to say. Cheers, lads.
Yeah, no worries, no worries at all, fella.
Brilliant. Kai, just to get your thoughts on it, sorry, I mean, we haven't asked you in regards to the players you feel. I mean, I know Ollie's listed off several players there. You're obviously known on the Mill podcast as being a bit of a stato, you know your stuff. Is there any sort of players that you feel the Mill Club are sort of sniffing around looking for at the moment, that you feel there could be a good fit for us?
Well, in January, I mean, mentioned Fleming there, but also linked to Ramsalar, another really good player. Obviously, there's some players that have gone down. Obviously, Peterborough, Smosticks did really well in League One, never really got a chance to show that at Peterborough. He was probably the bright spark for them last season. And then if you look in League One again, you've got players like Brannigan who have been linked with. Any of them sort of players, I think, could come in, potentially do a good job. But with the Alan Campbell stuff you mentioned before, there wasn't any. We didn't miss out on him as such. I think the Kifton Bell signing sort of pushed that one away almost. I think they sort of preferred to go with Kifton Bell, which I think, looking back on it, could have been a mistake. Obviously, Alan Campbell. Qualities Luton has been there for all to see this season. I mean, Kifton Bell has done well in parts this season, but with the age and, you know, some player like Alan Campbell's got real age on his side, being only, you know, very quite young. And I think maybe he would have been a better signing, but I know for sure we didn't miss out on him. We sort of pulled out of the race for that one. But I think the attacking department is the ones we need to go with. And I agree with Ollie. I think the foreign leagues are always the way you can get your best value for money.
It's getting quite interesting before anyone else comes in. It's getting quite interesting. We've got a few people from other fan bases listening in. And again, I've sent them, speak requests. If you do want to come on, just press that button, mate. You're on in here. But obviously, we don't mind a bit of banter and all that, but nothing too offensive and nothing libelous. Other than that, you're allowed to come on, mate. We're quite similar to that. We can chat about Championship, League One, League Two, whichever you want. There's some football knowledge on here, so I think we'll be able to keep the conversations going if you boys want to come in. That's Alex and Sam M. I think your other teams, but yeah, more than welcome to come in. And Michael's just joined. And again, you know, all you need to do is press the button, mate, and one of the co-hosts will get you on board or invite you in. Don't come in until you're invited in. Remember, this is being broadcast live, and also remember that this is being recorded and will be played out later on in the week as a podcast on our channel, That Millwall Podcast. So if you don't want everybody in the world to hear you, or stay in the public realm forever and a day. Come in, just listen.
Mickey, whilst we're waiting there, I've got a good friend of mine who's a massive, massive Norwich City fan. And while there's no real affiliation with Millwall, the fact we're talking about recruitment, how important recruitment is in order for your team to go up, I think he might be good to have on the show if I can get a hold of him. Just sort of spend sort of, you know, a few minutes just sort of talk about Norwich's sort of transfer sort of policies and how they sort of do it and their methods and so forth. He'd be very, very good at that. I think it'd be quite interesting for us Millwall fans to kind of get an understanding of how Norwich kind of operate at a very kind of shoestring budget. And how they've obviously had a massive return on their investment, because you think about how little they spent on players, and then suddenly last season when they got promoted to the Premier League, I think they spent something like £60 or £70 million on players. A lot of those were kind of parachute payments for the last sort of two seasons. But what it does strengthen the squad, the club, makes you very sustainable. And yes, they've gone down this season, but you expect them to sort of challenge again next season and go back up.
No, listen, on that subject, look, Norwich, maybe they do a good recruit, but the problem is that when teams are bouncing back and forth, the problem is they get, the teams will come down, normally end up pretty much looking as if they're going to go back up. They got hundreds of millions of pounds in the bank as such. They basically can pretty much do what they want. They've got the parachute payments as well. To everyone else in the league, they're pretty much head and shoulders above. Realistically, if they don't bounce back up with the income gamble, especially the first year, then it's a surprise if they don't go up, really. But, was anyone really surprised that Bournemouth and Fulham went straight back up? No, not really. They got the money. I mean, looking at Bournemouth's squad compared to our squad, I mean, they had players sitting on the bench worth probably more than our whole team.
Yeah, I do agree. I don't think Bournemouth did it the first time they came back down. It's they've had to kind of rely on this season.
Listen. One of the guys who I've known for years, back when I started the regen battle, this lad was starting out in his football journo world. And he used to come to me and write Millwall stuff and other bits and pieces while I used to put him on the AMS website many, many years ago. And then I went back to him one day and asked him to get involved again. And he went, no, I'm too busy. So helped him get to his fame and then he left me alone. So Gabriel, how you doing, mate? You run your own channel. You're more than welcome to plug your own channel, fella. But what's your views on what we're discussing?
Hi, pal. Yeah, it's great to see you. Listen, I remember actually, I went to watch Millwall Scunthorpe in 2016 and unfortunately less said about that game, the better. You lost 2-0, I think. But I really appreciated your help.
Yeah, you're starting well, mate.
Yeah, I lost.
not the right game in 2016, unfortunately.
Yeah, I remember losing my bag that night, and Mikey helped me a lot, sort of in terms of asking people around and trying to find it. So I've always appreciated that, and yeah, top man. Yeah, I mean, I think really for Millwall, it's obviously going to be tough for anyone outside the main pack to try and challenge for automatic promotion, but I think that in terms of the playoff scramble, it's going to be quite open. We've seen Luton do it, make the grade last season on a really low budget, Barnsley the year before. So I don't see any reason why with recruitment, Millwall can't kick on after a few solid seasons under Gary Rowett.
Yeah, but on a neutral, which you are, and you are a neutral, I mean, I don't know if there's one team you particularly follow over most, but you are a neutral in what you obviously write and stuff for betting companies, etc. What's your view on the style of football Rowett's been playing this season?
Well, I think he's always built teams based on solidity. I'm a Birmingham fan, and that was one of the key things he did for us. He kind of got us back to basics, and there was always that sort of solidity element. And I think that's kind of been the basis of this Millwall side over the last 3 years. There's always been that element of reliability defensively. And then it's always, I think, a case of can you find those little bits and pieces of quality going forward? And I suppose that's going to be the challenge next season. If Jed Wallace goes, can somebody else step up? Tony Bury, can you get the right signing in to complement Tom Bradshaw? Probably a couple of forwards will be needed to brought in, especially if Benik Afobe goes, I'd have thought.
I mean, it's interesting you say that, Gabriel. So just so I know, whilst he was coaching Birmingham, was his style very similar to what he does at Millwall? Was he very kind of defensive? Was it kind of like defence, first and then, like you say, probably nick a goal, counter-attack? And also, out of curiosity, did he play a back four or was he very much into a back five? I can't remember too much.
Yeah, when he was at Birmingham. So at Birmingham, he was very much a 4-2-3-1 disciple. I don't know if I'd call him a defensive manager, but certainly he wasn't keen on having lots of them. That was never really what he was overly fussed about. So, yeah, I think he was very much a stout 4-2-3-1 man. I'm not sure he would very rarely change formation. But with your lot, I think he seems to have preferred the back three, which I'm a little bit surprised about, to be honest. I thought he'd go with a 4-2-3-1 for your lot. I suppose... Because he's that sort of that element of solidity, he's tended to kind of go for first. And I just wonder, I look at the Millwall sides that nearly made the playoffs under Neil Harris, for example, and it was very much a 4-4-2, compact, high block, aggressive, constant balls into Steve Morrison and kind
very
of
direct, that,
yeah, keeping that pressure up. I suppose I'm curious to know from the point of view of Millwall fans, like, do you almost miss that sort of style, or are you happy with what you've seen under Howard?
Oh yeah, we used to love lob ball.
I think two. I was go as far as maybe saying two thirds of our sort of supporters love that attacking, you know, in your face, aggressive attacking football, going direct and getting amongst it. And then you get to the fans who probably appreciate what Rauch's trying to do and see the benefits of playing this kind of, you know, defence style of football, being hard to beat. And nicking points.
So I think what Millwall fans enjoy is they enjoy the 4-4-2 attacking style. What we don't enjoy is the launch the ball up for the up strikers out on his own and hope for the best. If we could have a good mixture between a Neil Harris style of play with a plan B and a Gary Rowlett style of attacking football and had a mix together, I think that's probably where we need to be, because when Gary has played 4-4-2 or attacking style of football this season, we've seemed to perform really well and the players seem to enjoy it. They seem to fall into their stride, they seem to be relaxed, and the crowd is on side from the first moment they see that happen. But through this season, and you know, it's a shame that Paul can't come on, because Paul will have a point on this, is that you will see that we don't necessarily get it. It's as if Gary sits there and says, yeah, okay, boys, you played attacking now. I don't really like the look of it. I'm a bit worried. Come back. You know, but if we had a Neil Harris style with a plan B or even a plan C coming from Neil, with a little bit of Gary's tactical or technique combined, I think that would be a perfect mix.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense. One thing I think is, especially at Millwall, the impression I've always got from afar, you love players that have come through the academy and just have that little bit of bite and aggression and have kind of been moulded in the Millwall way. And that's why I'm really excited to see how Billy Gilmore kicks on. Not Billy Gilmore, what am I about? Billy Mitchell.
Billy Mitchell, yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I don't know if you see much of Danny McNamara as well, who's of a very sort of cut from a very sort of similar cloth, really. So again, he's come through the Millwall youth system. Again, very sort of tenacious, plays with the kind of Millwall badge, you know, on his chest. You can see it quite clearly. And I think those sort of players have made a difference in our side. I think if you just rely on players externally from outside Millwall who don't quite understand the ethos of the club, it's very, very hard to kind of give the fans that kind of football and that passion they want to see from the players. But I think when you see McNamara sort of, you know, flying in tackles and Mitchell, you know, being, you know, sort of bossy midfield sometimes, I think it kind of rubs off on the rest of the players, and a lot of them see what it means to the fans to kind of play in that kind of way. And I think yourself being a Birmingham fan, I'm sure you've seen, you know, Millwall play against you many times over the years. And, you know, there's always been certain proper players that come from that kind of ilk, don't they? That kind of background, and they can sometimes make a big difference, can't they?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, up to nil quite recently, I'd quite enjoyed going to the Den, but I think more recently it's kind of swung more your way in terms of the games between us.
Yeah, no, exactly. In the last year or two, I think it has, hasn't it? Yeah.
Alan's on. Alan is another journalist, I think, like you, Gabe, and you, Kai, and Ollie. So, yeah, Alan, welcome. Anything you want to say or bring a new topic to the table?
Just got to take your mic off, Alan.
Yo, hello. Can you hear me?
Hi, mate. How you doing?
Yes, mate.
I'm never a journalist, mate. I don't know where you got that one from.
You should have just gone ahead. It's Kieran. You should have just gone ahead. You should have just gone ahead with it. It's all right. I don't mind being schooled this week. It was Kai's turn last week, so yeah, I don't mind being schooled this week. What you got? What do you want to add to the current conversation?
Well,
you've got
I mean,
a new topic.
A little bit there about the Neil Harris thing and attacking. I mean, I don't know where we got that one from, because we weren't like an attacking team under Neil Harris. It was a 4-4-2 low block. Let's lump it up to Morrison, and then
that's
we'll
what. Yeah,
there.
But
we was never
yeah,
an
but,
attack inside.
No, but it wasn't. No, but it wasn't as defensive as what it is with Rowe. You understand what I meant by that?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
listen,
no,
that's why I said. That's why I said I don't mind 4-4-2.
But 4-4-2 is outdated. It's not even really a thing. Most teams now, if you see. The way that some of our fans go on is like we're the only team that plays with five at the back. We're not. If you look at most teams now, everyone plays with five at the back. And quite frankly, that's because centre-halves are not as good as they used to be. Yeah,
absolutely.
I don't know how I feel. And I've said this before. We look, our centre-backs actually look more comfortable in a three, but we look better attacking if we go 4-3-3, you know what I mean? So
yeah, no worries.
It's about getting that balance in between, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I fully understand what you're saying, Alan. Bear with us 1 second. Ben is another new voice. Do you want to add to this topic, or you got another topic you want to come in on? You just unmute yourself and speak, Ben.
Just turn your mic on, Ben, bottom left-hand corner, if you're on your mobile phone. If you're on your laptop, unfortunately, you can't talk.
All right, we're going.
Alan.
Alan, Alan, go on, fella.
Yeah, mate. No, as I say, I think I think we as well. I prefer us playing a 4-3-3, me personally. But I don't mind us if we play with a five at the back, but with three in the middle and the two, because I find, especially when we play that sort of 5-2-3. We don't really have that many numbers in the box. You know what I mean? So we get our width from our wing backs anyway. And then if they play with the other ones out wide and all, it don't really give us much. But if we play with that little, like when Jed's played in the little 10 and he picks up little spaces, you know what I mean? And we've played with a Phoebe and Bradshaw up top. We've looked all right, you know.
I think the system has reworked for us, isn't it? In the last sort of 8-10 games.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the players that we got, it kind of suits that system as much as we want us to probably go a little bit more attacking. It does suit us. It does suit us a little bit.
Trouble is, next season, Alan, without Jed being there, it looks confirmed. We all believe he ain't going to be in next season.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's a massive, massive pair of boots that needs filling.
Not just
because he's a great player, but like you say, with the system that's worked for us towards the latter part of the season, you kind of need that number 10, that cam player that can do a role there. Is there anyone in the middle side at the moment you think is good enough to step up?
No one that could do that.
Can I just ask a lot about the lane, because Millwall historically don't seem to have done that well in the lane market, because fans maybe take to players that they can identify with.
We've done it right, Chris Wood.
Yeah, that's
Harry
true.
Kane. Harry Kane.
Benny ain't done too bad this year.
Or a Phoebe ain't done too bad.
No.
I suppose so.
Come and made an impact.
I think what Gabriel was trying to say there is that we probably haven't been as venturous as in attracting key like Premiership players. When you look at the loan market, you know, good teams in the Championship will sign Harry Wilsons and people like that and Harvey Elliott's from Liverpool, who can come in and really make a difference. Whereas we've kind of gone for out of favour Championship players that haven't quite.
Let's be honest. If you go to our training ground and see our training facility and you're a young up and coming 18, 19 year old player who's, you know, being fostered by a Premiership club with state-of-the-art facilities and, you know, 27 football pitches to play on in the training ground, top-of-the-art fitness equipment, all of that lot, then you suddenly come to Millwall and it's as if you've just taken a step back. I know we've got new plans for the new one. What went to public consultation today, and hopefully another month or two and they'll be going in for planning, and that will be built over the next couple of years. But you've got to look at it and go, you know, if I was taking my boy and you walked in and saw porter cabins in 2022, you'd look at it and go, actually, if another club come along, you'll go, actually, I'll have a bit of that rather than a bit of that, wouldn't you?
100%. But on the flip side,
Mickey, but I'd also add that, like, I think it's going to be really difficult to replace the quality of Jed Wallace without going into the loan market.
Absolutely.
Because yeah. I look at someone like Scott Twine at MK in League One. He could replace Wallace, but he's going to get offers from bigger budgeted championship clubs. So for me, the only way of getting that kind of quality in is taking a gamble on the loan market. And as Mickey's quite rightly pointed out, whether you've got the facilities to attract these kind of players.
No, you're completely right there, Gabriel. And, you know, I think when we looked at this season without Jed Wallace, and although we haven't done too badly when he's been injured, you can see straight away there's a massive void there. And we don't seem to have the kind of the fluency in our style of play. I think what was quite evident of that was one of our last home games against Peterborough. I mean, he's come back from injury. He comes in the second half. We were 1-0 up, to be fair. We did score early in the second half. We didn't look like we were in control. We were sort of, you know, it's very much kind of like, you know, very, very, not very confident in our style of play. But as soon as he comes on the pitch and he kind of takes the game from the scruff of the neck, and suddenly we just look invincible. We look completely in control. He gets two assists. We end up winning 3-0. And suddenly you can see how valuable he is to our Mill side. So I think next season, unless Rowett can sort of pull something out of the hat and bring in a real key player, we are going to struggle. Either that or he's going to have to change the system again and try and find out where a working player he's got.
I mean, changing formation, I wouldn't mind seeing a 4-1-4-2-3-1 at Millwall. Because
Was that what he did at Birmingham, Gabriel?
Yes, yeah, it is.
Because I don't think Scott Malone is a left wing back. He's more of a left mid. If you look at what he does in training, when you're at the Den, he goes with the attacking players of your Jed Wallace, and he doesn't do the defensive drills with the other back four. I'd play probably Murray Wallace at left back with Cooper Hutchinson in the middle, unless we can get Ballard in, and then probably play Ballard instead of Hutchinson.
Mm.
Right back, play Danny Mack. Two CDMs, look to get Lewis Ferguson, who I've already said, and playing with alongside Mitchell, and then play Saville in a 10 with Tyler Bury and Mason Bennett on the wings with Bradshaw up front.
Mm. I'd definitely like to see George Saville play hard at the pitch next season.
Yeah,
I think that's what's been missing in his second stint with us.
We saw when he played against Pompey, Ikapi was playing more up forwards, and he got a goal. So
yeah, and he does love a goal. The boy, you know, he loves getting in amongst the goals, doesn't he? He does like that. But you know, I guess that next season is going to be a massive, massive sort of change. You know, we're going to have to bring a hell lot of players in. How do we do it? I mean, are we looking for sort of cheap buys? Are we looking for our chairman sort of digging a bit deeper into his pockets? Do you think that will ever happen? Do you see that actually happening?
Bear with me 1 second, gents. Those of you who just recently listened, if you're listening on a laptop, you won't be able to join the conversation. You need to be doing that on a mobile phone. Please remember that if you do want to talk, you're more than welcome to come in. We will see your request and we can get you on. Also, don't forget, this is being broadcast live and we'll be going out as a podcast later in the week on our channel. So if you don't want to be recorded, then please just carry on listening. But if you're happy to get involved in the conversation or you've got a topic you want to raise, then please do get involved. And a welcome to one of my fellow podcast guests, hosts, is Chris has joined. So yeah, remember, if anyone else wants to come on, just get yourself there and the co-host will pick you up.
Going back to what we were saying, maybe even going into the foreign market would be, you know, useful for a team like us. You know, there's definitely some cheap buys, especially in, you know, European leagues, like the Super League in Denmark, the Scottish Premiership, and the Belgian League. The, you know, where you looked at players, but is he definitely worth looking at?
Have you seen much of the young 23s, Ollie? I mean, I don't know whether you... I know Kai watches a lot of the under-23s for us. Is there any young players there that you feel might be able to break into the first team next season? I mean, Lovelace obviously had a couple of goes, a few goes this season, come on as a substitute. You know, done reasonably well, obviously still very, very young. But, you know, is youth the way forward? Or do you think maybe the championship is too high level to actually trust youth players at this time?
I think looking at the loan market that we kind of used, especially with some of the young players who went to League 2, I think if we could try and get them probably higher up in League 2, I know Sun finished like 8th or something within their first season, or something like, it was a high finish for them at least, and Olafi was their top goal scorer with 9 goals, drawing with another one of their players. But Olafi has been coming off the bench quite a lot, so
he's a player I would love to sort of see have a go next season. I mean, you look at what Afobe did for us this season. A lot of it was about, you know, power. I mean, you could argue had a bit of pace as well, but it's kind of power, pace, strength, you know, in the box, causing a bit of a nuisance for himself. And I think you look at Olafi, I think he's a very sort of similar type of player. Obviously a lot younger and a little bit more green, but certainly with more games under his belt, you think he could develop into a good player. Can we sort of see him on there? Is there anyone else that would like to sort of jump on this, by the way? I see there's quite a few of you all listening at the moment. If you want to come on and talk, we've got about another 15 minutes on this or so before we end this live. Bear in mind, if you are on laptop, unfortunately, you can't come on to talk, but you need to be on your phone to request to come on the show and speak. So if you do want to, then please just you know, mention it and request to come on, and Mickey will let you on. Gabriel, you still there?
Yeah, I am. I was just wondering, actually, George Alexander's been released now, isn't he? And I remember people saying that George Alexander should have had more of a chance under Gary Rowett. So I suppose just on the point about, you know, youth players, will Rowett get give these players the opportunities, or are you confident that given the look in that Mitchell's had, that Bury's had, and McNamara's, that maybe once players get to the 19, 20, 21 type of age, that they'll get those chances?
It's a very, very good point. I mean, I'm not quite sure what Gary Zahn is doing at the moment. The last I heard, I think he was playing for his dad's side. I mean, is he at Bromley?
He was at Bromley,
At Bromley at the moment. So, yeah, that, I mean, as talented as he was as a youngster, and as well as he did for us in the youth team, the fact that he's actually playing for Bromley at the moment, no disrespect to Bromley, but that probably shows maybe his level and where he is at the moment. He's doing quite well for them, but maybe not quite good enough to sort of the championship or anywhere near that level. I think we've
released Sam Skefferton under Rowett as well, and
that's
he's at Bromley as well. Alfie Pavey a couple of seasons ago. Yeah. He's a coach now at Maidstone, like a player coach at Maidstone, and they got promoted from the National League South.
But going back to your point there, Gabriel, I don't think Rowett is an advocate of giving youth a chance. I think he only goes to the youth if he's desperate. You know, if we've got loads of injuries and we need to sort of, you know, put players on the bench, and I think he will try some youth players. But he strikes me as somebody who would rather take on and have an experienced sort of 31-year-old player, you know, ahead of a youngster, or at least start them and then bring the youngster off the bench. Whilst he was manager at Birmingham, did you felt he was a very sort of similar type of manager? How was he with youth players when he was managing Birmingham, your team?
Yeah, well, the only player I can really remember getting a proper crack at under Rowett is Damari Gray. And Gray had broken into the team, I think, the year before Rowett was first appointed. We could obviously see that he was a prodigious talent. He had sort of electric kind of pace, which kind of offered us something different, a bit of an outlet, which we needed at the time. I can't really remember Rowett giving youngsters unity at Birmingham.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I mean, you can see, you know, Damari Gray, what a great talented player, you know, he is and what he's become. You know, he's obviously, you know, progressed, done very well in the Premiership. So maybe, you know, you could argue that Rowett is right in what he's doing. Yeah, maybe he doesn't want to give youth a chance unless they can really prove that they're worthy of a place and good enough to sort of come on. I think over the years, I think where Mill been successful with youth players, I think it's when we've been in League One. And I think at League One, you could probably get by with some young players The trouble is, unless you've got a unless you've got a fantastic academy and you've got some real, you know, insurgents of youngsters coming through, that can really make a difference in the championships. It's going to be very hard to bleed these youngsters through. You kind of need players that can kind of hit the ground running, don't you?
Yeah, and also, I think if I can just add to that,
yeah, I'll come in after you, Gab.
Yeah, cheers. I think you look at what the Den wants from players. It wants aggression. It wants players that get in your face. It generally likes passes that go forward a lot. And I think that the way that a lot of top clubs are recruiting, they're almost trying to copy Barcelona. So it's difficult to sort of... Barnsley had this actually last year where they played a real... They got, with a really young squad, they got top six in the championship. And you'd think that off the back of that, they'd sell loads of players. But because the style, although it was an extreme high press, they were very direct. So generally, the higher placed clubs in the Premier League didn't really want them. And I just wonder that Millwall would have a similar issue, as much as the age profile of the players. If the style isn't really there towards sort of developing players to make them saleable for bigger clubs. Now, of course, you'll have Lions fans, you'll say, we're not here to produce players for bigger clubs, we're here to produce them for Wall, and that's absolutely right. But I think that probably is an issue that comes into the making saleable assets as well.
I mean, going on that, I think Ballard, if we get him back online, I'd be more than happy to have him for another season and develop him for Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, there's been no talk or rumour of Ballard coming back. As good as Ballard is, you know, is he going to make a difference to our Millwall side? I think when you look at the players we've got, you know, in defence, you've got Hutchinson, you've got Murray Wallace, you've got Cooper, you've got, you know, Ryan Leonard can do a job there, and I guess George Evans, if you're really desperate, plus, you know, the youngsters. Is Alex Mitchell going to get a chance to get back in the side again? Who knows?
But Hayden Muller as well.
Hayden Muller again, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe that they might want to switch their attention to looking at some bigger, more kind of established attacking players. That's going to be the need next season. I think, you know,
yeah.
Apart from Bradshaw, we haven't really got an outlet, have we, at the moment? I mean, who else have we got at the moment? Once all the loan players go back and Jed Wallace, yeah, potentially leaves.
Probably
who
to else Forest, have we got? Because they're being Sheffield United in the playoffs right now, 1-0.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah, I'm giving a tab on it.
Well, they're going to be my tip to go up, definitely.
Yeah.
But no, I think attacking players is going to be fundamental. Yeah, in the summer, we really got to look at, you know, some attacking players and hopefully, you know, create a new team, a new attacking lineup that's going to give us the goals next season that we kind of, you know, lack probably so much of this season. Is there anyone else, guys, that want to sort of jump on before we kind of wrap up the next sort of 10-15 minutes? I don't know if anyone's got any views or any sort of thing they want to kind of add to what we've been speaking about at the moment. Obviously, just to remind you again, those who just logged on just now, if you are on your laptop, you can't actually speak, you can't use your microphone, but if you're on your phone, it would be your iPhone or your Android, there is a mic button you can request to come on and say your bit. So do try and come on if you're able to. I think I've got Ben and we've got who are waiting to come on, so just give us 1 second. Ben, I'm going to bring you in now. Are you there, Ben? Ben, are you there? And Fab? Fab, you can now speak.
I'm forever blowing bubbles. Three bubbles in the air.
Cheers, Fab.
Cheers, Fab. Remove your mic. There we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Just be warned, those of you. Remember, we can mute you, we can block you, we can kick you out. So either play the game or be someone from a taxpayer-funded stadium instead.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Do you know what? Do you know what? He's actually raised a good point. I don't know why so many fans think singing We're Forever Blowing Bubbles is anything to us. We couldn't give a shit, to be fair.
It's not a very intimidating song, is it, to be honest with you?
No, and also, coming from the greatest undefeated hide-and-seek champions for over 30 years, it's a bit embarrassing.
I can see Dan Marsh is on there at the moment. Dan, do you want to sort of jump on for a couple of minutes to say a few bits? Be interested to get your thoughts on this, if you're able to. I don't know if you're on your phone or your Android at the moment, your iPhone, if you can come on, say a few things for a minute or two. No?
No problem.
Someone wants to get involved.
Go on, Adam. What do you think we need next season, player wise?
Well, just kind of really echoing what you were saying a little bit, Joe. To be honest with you, I think we really need to just concentrate on trying to get some attacking players. We need that mobility up top because I mean we're gonna lose obviously Burke, Afobe, Jed. That's quite big in most team in the championship.
Massive, isn't
squad.
It?
So yeah. Let alone ours, you know. What
to
I mean?
Be fair, Bradders get injured
every single season, doesn't he? You know what I mean?
I think a fit Tyler Bury can provide that pace. I've played for Hartlepool in the
first pace, but not consistency.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's a young that we see it when he come on, he was quality for two games and then went missing in the next couple. So. You know what I mean? And that's going to happen. You've got to take that time with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. But I think that's where Millwall are at. You can't have proven players in every position. You've got to take a chance on.
Nope.
On one or
two. No, but we did in January. We did get rid of a lot of players to free up a lot of wages for this summer rebuild. You know what I mean? So letting a lot of players go, we do need to sign some players, and the chairman probably does have to stick his hand in his pocket just a little bit more than what he normally does. You know what I mean? So
Alan, on that subject, and what Gabriel mentioned about Ty Bury, I mean, you know, being a year older, you know, a year maturer, developing, you know, physically as much as he is, you know, technically, do you think maybe this season could be a good season for him? Do you think that, maybe he could state a claim for a first team place?
I see it in a couple of interviews with Rowett at the end of last season. He said, Tyler's going to have to step up a little. You know what I mean? So, and going back to the point a little bit where you were saying about where he don't really like giving youth a chance. I mean, Billy Mitchell's played 40-odd games this season. McNamara's got to be close to that. You got Ballard was young, although not our player. Ballard was a youngster.
Ballard was probably contracted that he had to play a lot, though.
But he brought him in, innit? You know what I mean?
Alan, did you not get a sense of almost, I don't know about you, but I've got a sense of that, you know, McNamara and Billy Mitchell almost had to work that a little bit harder to prove their place in the team. It just seemed like, McNamara's playing really well. He then brings back, he puts Marlon Romeo on when Marlon Romeo's there. Then he takes McNamara back in the team. Then takes him out again, puts Ryan Leonard there.
That's clever management of a youngster, no, mate, to be honest.
Do you think
with
so? Or do you think he just didn't fancy them?
Because you've got to do a little bit of that. How many youngsters have we thought that were good that were never really managed right? Should have gone out on loan. John Marquis should have gone out on loan. No, but we kept him here, played him 15 minutes, then on the bench all the time. Mm. He's what he's done is let him play, see him burning out a little bit, brought him out of the firing line, out of the pressure. Danny Mack, what's he played about? Well, other than when he was out injured for a little while, he's played nearly all season, isn't he? You know what I mean? So
certainly had a chunk of games there. And I think Billy Mitchell, this season, he's really come along leaps and bounds, hasn't he? He's really commanding his place there.
Billy Mitchell will be a quality player for us once he starts getting them killer balls forward. He's very neat and tidy, very calm on the ball, which you do need in the championship. I know fans are a bit like he goes side and backwards, but sometimes you need that, or what you're going to do like we did under Harris, where we just bypass the midfield and just smash it long, you know what I mean? So once he gets that, and we got to remember he's 20 years old and he's never been out on loan once, all he's done is play championship football.
Absolutely,
he's learning on the job.
I totally agree with you, but look, we're coming to the end of our hour. We're going to be back next Tuesday and we'll do another Twitter space. Primarily, we'll be talking Millwall, but you know what? If we need to talk on other subjects with other teams, other this, that and the other, then more than welcome to get involved. I'd like to say many thanks for those who've come on today. Many thanks to Gab
for coming on
and giving us your time, mate. And hopefully we'll see you again because you always have a good conversation to do. Thanks very much, Kai. Hopefully we'll get you involved a bit more next time, fella.
Cheers, mate. Everyone have a good evening.
Ollie, thanks again, mate. We will be in touch. Hopefully you'll join us again next week. Alan, thanks again, mate. Again,
no problem,
you
mate.
Race and cracking points.
No worries, mate.
Dan Marsh, keep those legs up high, mate, and increase that treadmill a bit more, mate, because You got a bit on the derby you need to get rid of, fella. So keep going. Come on. 1-2, 1-2. Speed up. And Joe, you've done fantastic well there, mate, hosting that.
It's been a pleasure, mate. I'm obviously enjoyed it. And again, you know, you're only as good as the interaction you get on these chats. And you guys have been fantastic. So I've really enjoyed that. Thank you very much for coming on.
Absolutely. This will be out Saturday morning, Sunday morning as a podcast. If you've not already listened to our pod this week, came out this morning, we are doing our post-millennium 11. So we've looked at all players from 2000 onwards, and we've basically selected our 11 through the guys on the podcast. And so far, you've got part one where we've decided the goalkeeper and the defenders. And the show coming out Thursday morning, we'll be doing the midfield and the attacks. If you know what your team would be from post 2000 to now, then you know, drop us a text, drop us a tweet naming yours, pod thread, or, you know, wait till the end and then drop in either an email, DM, whichever way you want to do it. But look, as Joe said, these shows are completely fuck all without you getting involved. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. And thanks very much for listening to everyone talk bollocks for an hour. And we'll be back next Tuesday, 8 o'clock. And we'll do the debate hour then again. Many thanks for joining us, and speak to you all soon. Check us out across social media, that Millwall Pod. It's the same account across all platforms, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, everywhere else. See you soon. Thanks.